The following is a presentation of the Center for Dermatology, Cosmetic, and Laser Surgery in Mount Kisco. Recapture your youthful look with Dr. David Bank. Visit thecenterforderm.com. You'll be happy you did. Welcome to the Health and Happiness Show with Casey. This is a weekly presentation with guests, ideas, information, and fun designed to improve your life. From Real Country, 920 WGHQ, 1260 WBNR, and 1420 WLNA.
Funny and serious. Hi, it's Casey. Thanks for tuning in as we shine on today. First, you will fall in love with a funny new dad, a storyteller and comedian and actor. He has a one-man show running through May at the Lynn Redgrave Theater in the Village. The celebrities are lining up for Mike Birbiglia's Thank God for Jokes.
When Crystal came the other night, I made sure that he was in, like, the ninth row. Steve Martin came, like, a month ago. I made sure he was in, like, the eighth row. If I find out a celebrity's coming, I play them back because I can't handle it.
That's coming up. And we'll also visit with Nathan Garcia. Nathan grew up on the streets of Yonkers. Crime seemed like the only way to get ahead in his world. Advice from an old-timer in jail turned that world around. Now Nathan is a motivational speaker and the author of Plan B. Nathan has advice for parents who want to keep kids on the right path, too. But first, we head to New York City, and we have a few laughs with Mike Birbiglia. He is an award-winning comedian and actor, the unassuming star of My Girlfriend's Boyfriend and Sleepwalk With Me. He's also the star of His Real Life, a new dad living with his wife and baby daughter in Brooklyn, and like most parents, he's sleep-deprived.
That's absolutely correct. That's not a good selling point, by the way.
Not a good selling point.
For my first show, for Sleepwalk With Me, that's a good selling point, but not for Thank God for Jokes.
Now, you're unlike other entertainers that your shows have real themes, right? They're more performances than just stand-up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been working with my director, Seth Parrish, who is the artistic director of the Barrow Group Theater, which is my favorite theater company in New York City, for about, oh gosh, almost 11 or 12 years. And he did my first show, Sleepwalk With Me, my second show, My Girlfriend's Boyfriend, and this being my third show. What we do is we try to blend elements of, you know, theater and also, you know, hard jokes and comedy, so that the experience ultimately is simultaneously a theater experience and a comedy experience.
A theater experience and a comedy experience. The latest show, Thank God for Jokes. When you say Thank God for Jokes, it makes me think that jokes saved you from something. So what were you saved from?
That, you know, I think overtly, I don't know if they saved me from anything that I can think of or that's in the show, but I think that's very possible. You're making me really think about it. What I say in the show about jokes is that, you know, I feel like jokes are a way that we all connect to one another. I think we share jokes with the people we love, and they ultimately make us closer together, but also can be very divisive simultaneously. And so it's, in a lot of ways, the show is sort of an ode to the joke and to the idea that we have to protect jokes, you know?
Yes.
You know, I talk a little bit about the Charlie Hebdo incident in France at the beginning of the show, where, you know, these 10 satirists were killed for drawing a disrespectful cartoon, and how sad that was. You know, obviously for those people, and then at the idea that there's certain things that we can't joke about. I disagree with that concept.
Yes, you believe we should be able to joke about anything.
Well, what I always say, and this is a line that was a guiding principle when I was developing the show, and it's not a line that's in the show because it feels too on the nose, but I can say it, I can tell it to you, which is, I believe that we all have the right to tell jokes, and we all have the right to be offended by jokes, and those two ideas can peacefully coexist.
Wow. I get that, and I also think I just got a lesson that you can't say things that are too on the nose in your show?
I try not to, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I had a movie, in addition to the show, I had a movie premiere, our New York premiere was at Tribeca Film Fest last night, called Don't Think Twice. It's starring Michael Key and Gillian Jacobs and Chris Gethard and all these great improvisers and actors. And I feel similarly about when I write films and when I write shows, is, you know, you don't want to say ultimately what the movie's about. You want to show people and tell the story. So yeah, the thing I was saying about we all have a right to tell jokes and also be offended by jokes is it's sort of like the 3x5 on my bulletin board, but not a line that makes it into the show.
Aha, I get it. All right, that's a very interesting concept. So that's the idea that's put forth, but you don't come right out and say, this is what we're talking about here today, kids.
Yeah, because people just look around and go, oh, come on.
Right. Gotcha. So you express
it. We know. Usually the audience is ahead of you. You know what I mean? If you say something that's on the nose in a movie or a live show, people go, yeah, I know. I'm watching the show.
Right. Got it. All right. What in the show makes you uncomfortable? Do you have any moments where you're like, oh, here comes that moment? It always gives me a funny feeling.
Well, the most unpredictable moment of the show is I will generally ask people whether they've been arrested, which, by the way, is like a great party icebreaker. If you ever talk to somebody, you get these wild stories, and then also you never know who's going to be in the audience. So, like, Rachel Maddow was in the audience, like, 4 weeks ago. You know, it's New York City, so it's anybody can be in the audience. Rachel Maddow raised her hand that she got arrested, and I said, why, what did you get arrested for? She said it was for protesting, but it was on purpose that we got arrested. And I said, well, that's very convenient. If I ever get arrested, I'm just going to say, well, I did it on purpose.
Absolutely.
That way it makes it okay.
Now, did you know she was there, or did you just recognize her?
Well, it's funny because you can see what's great about the show is at the Culture Project, which is Bleecker and Lafayette. And listeners have probably been there over the years for different shows. Bridge and Tunnel was there, Sarah Jones's show, and
right.
My first show, Sleepwalk With Me, was there. But it's intimate. It's actually, in a lot of ways, my favorite theater in the city because it's sort of three quarters in the round, and it's only about 235 people. So the first, like, three rows, you can pretty much see everybody. And so it's a very, I think it's a really special experience. I mean, we're going through May 29th, and that'll be, I think, almost exactly 4 months there. And I feel really lucky every time I get on stage because I'm like, oh, I get to share this really intimate comedy experience with these 200 people. And I love it. I feel really lucky.
Wow, that's crazy. But celebrities do show up and sit in the first three rows, and the pressure's on you because what if you don't recognize them?
I find out that celebrities are coming. I place them back, but
right.
Billy Crystal came the other night. I made sure that he was in like the ninth row. Steve Martin came like a month ago. I made sure he was in like the eighth row. If I find out a celebrity's coming, I place them back because I can't handle it. That would be, to answer your question, what makes you nervous? That makes me nervous.
Yes, that makes me nervous.
We got to the answer circuitously, but that's
wow.
What makes me nervous.
Steve Martin and Billy Crystal have both seen your show.
Yeah, it's outrageous. I mean, I honestly feel so lucky, and it's even Frank Oz came a few weeks ago, and in the show I tell this elaborate story about performing with the Muppets because it was a Canadian television special a few years ago, and it was hosted by the Muppets, and I had to follow Fozzie Bear. And when I say about Fozzie Bear, the thing about Fozzie Bear is that he's actually a pretty good comedian, and I'm staring down, and in the front row is Frank Oz, who is Fozzie Bear.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, and is Animal, and is, of course, Yoda, the voice of Yoda. And I was very, very self-conscious, and I asked him, he came back afterwards and said hello, and I asked him advice about, because I do the voice of Animal from the Muppets in the show, and in the live show, and I said to him, like, how do you do Animal? Do you have any tips? And he goes, here's all you need to know about Animal. He goes, all he knows about is food and sex and pain and drums, of course, and he eats glass. And ever since then, my Animal has been pitch perfect.
Right. You nailed it. You nailed Animal. That's amazing. And look, and who could have ever thought that you'd be getting advice from Frank Oz?
It is outrageous. Frank Oz, yeah. I mean, one of the greats.
So I have a young friend who recently got into stand-up after seeing you. He was. And you met him the other day after your Sunday show.
Oh, I met him the other night. Yep.
Zach Braffio. That's my friend.
He seems very, very sweet.
Sweet man. Sweet, sweet man. I never heard him speak two words, and then he decided he wanted to be on stage doing what you do.
That sounds about right. By the way, that sounds about right. I relate to that.
Really? Why? You were quiet and shy before all this?
I was intermittently shy and outgoing, which I think can be a quality of comedians. Because, you know, because a lot of what you're doing as a comedian is you're observing, and you're observing and then reporting. I suppose it's what police detectives do. it really is. I mean, so much of it's watching. I mean, as an actor, being an actor as well, it's similar. I mean, I think it was inside the Actor's Studio with Dustin Hoffman where I was watching. And he said one of the hard things about becoming famous was that I couldn't watch people anymore in the street because they would see it was me.
And say, why is that man staring at me? Yes.
Exactly.
Wow.
And so, but listen to this. He goes, in the interview, he says, so I got an office in Los Angeles that had a big window that looked into the street so I could stare at people and they didn't know I was staring at them.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
But it's a lot of it. I mean, to your friend who came, I wouldn't be surprised if he does great. I told him advice that was given to me by Eugene Merman, who's one of my favorite comics, and nobody ever wants to hear this, but I think it's true of comedy. I think it's true of a lot of art forms and just artistic pursuits is start doing it, keep doing it, call me in 10 years.
Oh, I could just cry.
Which is, of course, discouraging in a lot of senses, and then in some senses, it's the truth.
It's the truth. And who gave you that truth?
This guy named Eugene Merman, who's a great comedian. He's actually on Bob's Burgers, the animated show on Fox.
Well, you are every bit as nice as everyone told me that you are, and I am going to send everyone I know to your show and even give some tickets away. And I hope you get extended beyond May 29th. Do you hope that too, or do you need a break?
I have to. It's a must close May 29th because I have to go out and tour with my movie Don't Think Twice because it's coming out nationwide in theaters in July. It was just announced on Variety yesterday, and so it's going to be in hundreds of movie theaters, and it'll be, you know, it'll be, I'm trying to think of what's near you. The Jacob Burns is near you, right?
Right.
So it'll probably be at the Jacob Burns. It'll be probably at the Sunshine or the IFC in Manhattan, and it's going to be everywhere. We premiered at South by Southwest and then Tribeca, so that's why Thank God for Jokes is going to have 5 more weeks, and I'm very excited.
Got artistic pursuits? Start doing it. Keep doing it. Call me in 10 years. Go see Mike Birbiglia soon in his one-man show, Thank God for Jokes, in the Village until the end of May, and then look for his movie this summer, Don't Think Twice. ThankGodForJokes.com.
This is the Health and Happiness Show with Casey. On Real Country 920 WGHQ, 1260 WBNR, and 1420 WLNA. Find out more and listen to previous shows online at kcradio.com.
Dr. David Bank at the Center for Dermatology, Laser, and Cosmetic Surgery in Mount Kisco is one of only 300 doctors in the U.S. trained to use Kybella. Kybella is an FDA-approved chin fat-removing drug. With this in-house procedure, you can now remove excess fat around the top of the neck, known as double chin. This is a common concern for many, as this area is often too hard to conceal with clothing. Now, with up to 6 sessions, there is finally a non-surgical solution to dramatically enhance a person's appearance and self-esteem, and give a more youthful look. The healing process is so minimal, you can expect to return to work in just days. Kybella is a permanent treatment. Even if you gain weight post-procedure, those areas treated still remain tight and slim. Schedule your consult with Dr. David Bank, 914-241-3003. That's 914-241-3003. And visit thecenterforderm.com.
Hi, Patty Holmes here with your Yoga Garden Minute and a bit of thought-provoking anatomy. Yoga teachers are always telling us to breathe. We focus on the movement of air as it travels in and out, but that's only half of the story. Can you guess where most of that oxygen gets delivered to? Which body part receives the greatest supply? If you guess the brain, good job, you're right. About 15 to 20% of our oxygen intake goes to our brains. Now, a tougher question. Which body part receives the second greatest amount of that oxygen supply? Your heart? Nope. Stomach? Nope. Lungs? Nope. Give up. Get ready for this one. The second greatest amount of incoming oxygen gets delivered to the deepest, most hidden parts of our bodies, all the way to the marrow of our bones. How cool is that? So now, full inhale. Feel it finding its way deep, deep into your bones. This is Patty Holmes at YogaGardenWP.com in White Plains, New York.
Hi, it's Casey. Thanks for tuning into the Health and Happiness Show. Today, I introduce you to Nathan Garcia, a young man who has gone to jail for the criminal lifestyle that he thought was his only option for a better life when he was growing up in Yonkers. Published by Far Country Press, his book is called Plan B, and it offers hope and advice for anyone who wants to turn their life around. Now, Nathan makes a living as a motivational speaker. Could he have ever imagined this career when he was living life on the street?
No, not at all. I've never even had a projection to predict something like this happening. All I wanted was my freedom back. I just wanted to be free. Genuinely, I wanted to help others, not knowing how to. However, once I was released, and even before then, I started talking to a lot of old timers, a lot of old folks in there, and one of them, who is serving a life sentence, he had 18 years at the time, and he wrote 18 books, and I was learning from him, going back and forth, just asking him questions, things that I wanted to know, and learn how to maneuver myself out of here, and he taught me how to write. And the book was something that I held close to me, not knowing, not expecting much from it to come to life the way it is now.
Yeah.
But once it did, it just gave me such a big amount of hope that I couldn't turn it down. I couldn't turn away from it because I came so far.
Do you think you would have come this far if you hadn't been in jail?
Maybe in a different way, but as far as I am now, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think this has given me an open lane and has opened my mind to a lot more options.
Now, where do you go when you need help? Where do you go when maybe things aren't right with your mind or your heart is unsettled? Where do you get your support from?
Along this way, I've had a lot of mentors who I consider mentors, some pastors from the churches, some people who attend the churches as well. In the Nepenthe Community Center is Dr. Bostic. He's the executive there, and I call on him sometimes just to get an insight on some of the things, but not every time there's going to be someone there to speak to and so you can vent. But for the most part, when I have really difficult decisions to make and I know they're going to take time, I just go to sleep on them. I go to sleep on them, and tomorrow I feel differently. The next day and following day, sometimes it takes longer than a day to make my decision, but I just take everything with patience, take everything as it comes, and try not to overwhelm myself, trying to be a perfectionist every time.
What changed you? How did you go from the kid you were to the man you are now?
I think just the trials that I've been through. I think that what I've been through hurt me so much that I didn't want to go through it again. So I had to try something that I didn't try before. But more than anything, when I try to help others, even by just speaking and not necessarily putting the same pressure on them, because sometimes it's hard to talk to people who have an empty stomach because the necessities are right here.
Yeah.
And if they don't eat now, they don't eat later. So I understand where they are. So everybody's reality is different. So whether they change now or later, which I think happened to me, I went through something that changed me. So everybody's time will come because everybody's reality is different.
Right. Well, if they live to see it happen, you know?
Right.
What did you need as a younger person that you weren't getting that led you to this life, you know, that ended up in jail?
I could say a lot of things. One of the most important things that someone said to me as I was growing that I would have liked to know was that what I was doing was doing a life sentence, one sentence at a time. And I didn't think of everything until everything happened. So out of that, what I got was a lot of patience, back to decision-making, being paranoid about my own decisions and knowing that I have to, whatever decision I make, I have to live with. So pretty much just having a lot of patience with anything that you're doing.
So when you were running on the street, you didn't realize you already were in a different kind of jail that you had sentenced yourself to one day at a time.
Yeah, definitely, which was living, and they call it a lifestyle. I like to call it a death style because it's pretty much where it's headed. Unconsciously living that way. So yeah, I definitely gave myself up to something that I wanted more out of, just a different way.
In the life you were leading before jail, what were you looking for then? What was your driving force?
Just a better living, just because growing in a poverty-stricken community, poverty-stricken neighborhood, you know, the prosperity level is very low. So you never hope to be nothing too big. So I think it's just a better living circumstances for my family, putting them in better places, making sure that we all get somewhere in life from, you know, far from where we started. But living that way, it just kind of consumes you without you knowing that you're stuck in a cycle that you think you're getting ahead.
Yeah.
And you're really not.
So crime felt like you were doing the right thing for your family. Crime felt like you were moving forward to get out of poverty.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wow. And what about, like, just getting a job at the local, I don't know what? Was that an option?
Yeah, it's always an option. And you have some old folks that come by and you know, talk in your ear and let you know that, you know, there's other ways of making an income. However, it's a lot of pride that comes with being in those places. So for me to be working a 9-to-5 and, you know, making minimum wage, you know, it kind of strikes at my pride, that the pride that I had before. So, you know, you kind of feel more superior than that. But
right. So there was pride in being a criminal because you were what? Big man?
Well,
people looked up to you?
I like to think so. And the thing is that sometimes your name is bigger than you. So, or, and it can be vice versa, but the thing is that this is sort of like a culture that we're grown into, and this is all you know for some time. And so my belief was in that was going to get me out.
How are we going to change that for your children and future generations?
Well, pretty much what I'm doing now is, and it goes back and forth with family and even just community, is all I'm doing right now, knowing that I can't change everyone, and that's fine. But the thing is that what I'm doing is just raising the awareness. I'm just giving people information. If they apply it, then great. If they don't, then it is what it is. But all we're doing is raising awareness, people who take the information and apply it to their life. But I wish everybody success. I wish everybody does well in their life, but if they don't take it, and that's what we're doing. We're just raising the awareness, taking this information and bringing it to the community, and same thing that I do with my children, same way, and just hope the best comes out of that.
So Far Country Press allows you to write books, and some of the proceeds from the book sales goes back into the prison systems to help inmates with cultural and writing programs.
Yep, that's correct.
So you're helping on the outside and you're helping on the inside.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. What do you want to tell maybe to parents who have a child or a relative that's struggling with the kind of lifestyle, what you call death style? What can you say to those parents?
Just pretty much keep their kids busy, get them involved in the community with the programs that they have. Stay busy in school. Sit down and just speak to them. A lot of the teachings start at home. They don't start at school. So those values, those morals, they can't get at school. They have to get them at home. And just give them everything that you've learned throughout your experiences, and just hope for the best. When, you know, they hit a certain age that they have to go, they have to fly. So you just hope for the best and that they make those right turns. So just keeping them aware of, you know, staying away from drugs, staying away from bad influences, bad crowds, and just keep them busy with sports. I think sports are great, and this is why I want to get into sponsoring a little league team. Catch them while they're young.
Nathan Garcia from Yonkers. Plan B is the book from Far Country Press. Wishing you a wonderful day. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Health and Happiness Show with Casey. The content of the Health and Happiness Show is intended for general information purposes only. The Health and Happiness Show is a presentation of the Center for Dermatology, Cosmetic, and Laser Surgery in Mount Kisco. Recapture your youthful look with Dr. David Bank. Visit thecenterforderm.com. You'll be happy you did. You can listen to previously broadcast shows online at kcradio.com. And join Casey for another edition of the Health and Happiness Show next Sunday morning on Real Country, 920 WGHQ Kingston, 1260 WBNR Beacon, and 1420 WLNA Peekskill.